The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
One and all, and welcome once again to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and our table tonight is a table of familiar faces. I'm going to start with our technician, who's already worked up a sweat tonight, VRM.
Yeah, we had an issue with the soundboard and testing today, and it turns out we were well overdue for the overhaul on the sound system, so no soundboard tonight. Lovely.
Well, we will make do, as we've done before. We also have our table tonight, our walking sound bite, Jason Block.
Yeah, this the moral of the story is never try to slip the Italian sausage into a Russian borscht when you have a Bulgarian in the background.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I have no answer. I have no answer to that.
It's the truth, though. We'll get to that later. It was a fun segment, though.
Yes, yeah, we will get to that shortly. Our fourth at the table is somebody who should be our fourth on a more regular basis. Fourth.
All I know is if more TV shows begin with Happy Scary Dean delivering dirty deeds to James Ellsworth, I would watch them.
Yeah, Happy Scary Dean pulling the page out of the Rock and Stone Cold school of ass kicking. Arise, yes. Finishing move, leave.
I have no problem with this. I have absolutely no problem with this. And as we're recording also on the night that Happy Scary Dean hit Bray Wyatt in the head completely by accident with a thrown chair, it's only appropriate as we go into taking a look at TLC. As Forth has mentioned, Ellsworth needs to get dirty deeds over and over again until it gets through his head and maybe out what little left of he has of his chin. I understand what he's trying to do, but dude, do you really want to piss off Happy Scary Dean?
No, you don't. But I like the way it's being played. It wasn't a heel turn. It was a moron turn.
Actually, no, you're right. The term here is idiot ball. James Ellsworth has taken the idiot ball and is running with it. He's hoping that this will be a formal distraction from the fact that AJ ran around with ripped tights Sunday night.
Moon over Georgia.
Except King Ross already played it on WTF Moment, so everybody's already seen it.
Well, it's to the point that people have already gone through and altered their AJ figures in 2K17 to have rip tights.
Jeez.
It's out there, folks.
And to the point where he actually mentioned it on SmackDown.
Yes. Allow me to address the elephant in the room. Oh, you guys thought I was going to be talking about my boot, didn't you?
I don't know if he was intentionally trolling or trying to cover for a production gaffe, but it was perfect.
Essentially, it bounced around on Twitter for a little bit, and he's like, come on, you guys. The hole wasn't big enough for you to see my butt. You know, see all of my butt. But it caused a little bit of a stir on Twitter which just added fuel to an otherwise very, very good match. The Southern Moon notwithstanding, we had a wonderful show that apparently I can't pick to save my life. I think I'm staring a little too close at the product lately.
I don't know, but I thought the match work for the most part was pretty good.
Oh yeah, we have new champions. The Wyatts, as in Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, are now the tag team champions. And
finally,
yes, we have some finally for that. Alexa Bliss is your new women's champion, and I'm still not sure how I feel about that. Ziggler was unable to capture the Intercontinental title, much to my chagrin. And when the dust settles, we only had one wild card play. Who's the lucky bastard?
Muckamuck.
Muckamuck gets his wild card that Ellsworth interferes on Styles' behalf. Sorta, kinda, but I'm gonna give it to you anyway, Carl. As it was said, this isn't a heel turn. This is just borderline ego and idiot ball. And for some reason, I just feel like they're using it as a ploy to keep Ambrose away from the belts for a little while. But. Anyway.
Excuse me. If the gods are good, Styles and Owen should not lose the belts till WrestleMania. And not even that.
Well, we'll see how it goes. This one seemed to be easier to call than our last outing, although I do not reflect this, as I am at the very bottom of the pile with a mere 3. Statboy, Chris, and Cindy are just above me at 4. Fourth, you, Jason, Shano, and Dan. Welcome Dan's kid home. Came home on Monday. Daydreamer Dan's lovely, lovely son Isaac is now out of the hospital.
Ta-da! Woohoo! Yay! So cool. Awesome.
But that only warrants him third place, because having a kid does not give you points in the Fizzleweight competition. Muckamuck edges all of the others out with 6. But interestingly enough, we do have a new Fizzleweight champion, and he happens to be in the room.
Why didn't I change it to just be the regular ladder?
It's all right, man. It's all right, man. You still won. It don't matter. You won clean, and you took it off of Cindy.
Did you get the perfecta?
Damn near. He got everything but his wild card.
Wow.
Damn.
That's not bad.
Like I said, and even though I called the spot, but I called it with the super stun, and they teased it. They teased the super stun ladder at the very beginning of the match.
Mm-hmm. But still, a pretty good show. I'm not going to complain. Like I said, you know, everything was very well done. We still have little controversies. You know, who really did beat up Nikki Bella? And I hope it was Natty, because Natty's a wrestler and Nikki Bella's a diva.
Yes.
But with that out of the way, we shall move on. We've got this lovely little rhombus going on at the top with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho and Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. And the reason I say that is that even though Seth is on the mic screaming for Triple H,
I admit it, I'm an asshole. Sorry.
No, you're fine. He's dealing with the asshole that's available in Owens.
Yes.
And Owens is trying to be meta. Jericho was a little late, so he didn't get a chance to speak his piece. Roman also got a chance to throw a couple of seeds of doubt in this. Now, Jason, when you sent me these notes, you said this is sowing seeds for WrestleMania. Can you elaborate?
When Rollins is screaming, "I want Triple H," there's your WrestleMania match right there.
Okay.
Because we all know, and it's been rumored for what, about 6 months now?
Yeah.
That Rollins and Triple H are going to hit, you know, are going to wrestle at the big, you know, at in Orlando at the big stage. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the seeds I'm talking about. That was the seeds, not the Jericho that is now legitimately pissed at
Owens.
At Owens. But what I'm asking is that does the anger seem just a touch force to you, or do you think it's continuity?
I don't think it's forced. Jericho's missing some information. And Owens is playing it for all it's worth, because Owens is a better diplomat than Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
That's the continuity here. However, I think it's slowly dawning on Jericho that something stinks. And it's not because that scarf was around Braun Strowman's neck at one time. Let's see. VRM, I'm presuming you watched, so...
I watched most of it.
Okay, Reigns faced Owens in the main. Not the main, but late in the show. And putting them in a situation where they're going to be facing each other... Doesn't the U.S. title need to go somewhere first?
It may, and probably it may go next week in an impromptu. But we have seen within the past year, we've seen champion versus champion with a belt on the line, but then that was both belts on the line.
And this is one of those situations that I don't think it's going to happen. That's why it kind of telegraphs that, you know, if they put the Universal title on the line, Reigns isn't going to win it while he's still U.S. champion. I still think there's traces of shit sandwich out there. They're not going to put two belts on Roman. Fourth, what do you think?
And it seems too close, really, after Rollins did it with the WWE World Heavyweight Championship to do it with the United States Championship and the Universal Championship. So I don't think he's going to win it, at least not until sometime next year.
That's fair. Let's see. Okay, since we mentioned it earlier, how did you put it again, Jason? Something about Italian sausage?
Yes. Never put an Italian sausage inside the Russian borscht when you know the Bulgarian is lurking there out. May I elaborate on this? Because it's pretty funny. So Enzo and Cass are just hanging, you know, a couple of guys just hanging. And they hear Lana and Rusev having a public fight. Lana says, "You are no longer the only man that can have me," and throws the ring down. So Enzo decides to slide in like a direct message on Twitter. Okay.
And Cass is going, "This is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. Oh, my God. This is such a bad idea. Go Zoe, but this is such a bad idea.
And Enzo's just like, "I'm going to try and get me some," right?
Yeah.
So he slides in and he's, you know, looking it up. He gets a text message of a pretty sexy picture of Lana, which appeared to be naked, but not, you know, just face up. But she didn't look like she was wearing clothes on. And Enzo's like, "I'm out of here. See ya." So Enzo's walking out. And guess who's coming in, which we'll talk about in a minute? Mr. Ric Flair. Ric Flair says, "Hey, I'm not using this limo. You want to? You're going to be the kiss stealing, wheeler dealing, jet flying guy? No problem. You could use my Lincoln Town Car. Go have fun."
Right? No. He actually walked all the way up to limousine riding, which got a pop from the crowd.
But yes, he was trying to get an Uber in Austin, which, by the way, is illegal if you do know your law. True. True.
Oh,
story.
I didn't even think about that.
Yes. There I is no.
Even, yeah, there is yeah. no Uber in Texas.
No. There is no Uber in Austin.
Ah.
Specifically.
Okay.
Because they were in, you know, tussling Texas. Hi, Titus. Hi, Mark Henry. How you doing? So
we'll skip that 3 second affair. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, okay. So what happens is that Enzo takes the limo. By the way, that segment between Enzo and Rick, awesome, terrific, funny, pee your pants funny. So Enzo takes the hotel up to 704.
Meanwhile, Cass is in the ring waiting for a match with Rusev.
And Rusev's taking way too much time to get to the... Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Give me your phone.
So, come on, pick up. Come on. So, saw the phone, saw the call. Nobody I know.
Which brings up, like, why did Cass think that would work?
So, he should run backstage for his own phone.
Or at least send a text, like, Enzo, it's a trap.
Excuse me. Not all. Put it to you this way: Enzo's frosted tips were the only wasn't the only thing stiff, if you know what I mean. So anyway.
How you doing? Anyway.
How you doing? Right. So Enzo knocks on 704, and Lana comes out in this pretty hot looking red number, if you know what I mean. Not very PG, correct? Okay. Not very PG. She invites him in. She pours him a drink. She takes off his pants. He's in his underwear. And she basically tells him, "You're a fucking fool, you dumb son of a bitch," pretty much. Because guess who's in the ring beside her? The room beside her.
Well, of course he's there.
Yes.
He's defending his lady's honor, and he just crushes Enzo.
Yes, he does. He crushes Enzo. Knocks a sugar glass vase on his head. They drag Enzo out of the hotel room, and just because she's so hot watching the man, they put the do not disturb sign and decide to do the Bulgarian mambo after the beating up of one Enzo. The end. Sorry.
And by the time Cass got to the hotel, Zoe's outside the door being thrown out by security because they think he's drunk.
Yeah.
Great progression to storyline. You don't always have to have a match to do it. And when you do this right, and this was done right. This was done quite right. I was thoroughly amused throughout. In fact, it didn't even dawn on me. Lana and Rusev have had me sold. All the way. I was with Cass. The music kept playing, and I'm like, okay, is he coming out? Somebody jump. Oh, shit.
Yes.
It was like.
So, yes, I can be fooled. And the problem is, Enzo is like many men in this world, and I don't care if the rest of the table is guys. You are all born with two heads and only enough blood to run one at a time.
Exactly. Excuse me. He was thinking with the wrong one. Oh, was he thinking with the wrong one?
So, the tag team division, the club versus Sheamus and Cesaro. I'm not going to call it a cop out, but I didn't think we were going to get a definitive finish to that match because.
When Xavier's doing his streaming on Facebook Live, you know something bad's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. But it was just one of those things that, we can't mess up Sheamus and Cesaro because they're just starting to click.
We can't mess up the club because we need to rebuild them after we destroyed them over the summer.
Right. So now we're going to throw them all in the ring against the New Day and just see what happens. Unfortunately, this is the question I have to ask. Is Sheamus Cesaro heel or face?
I can't tell. It's like...
It's probably a trick question. The answer is yes. The trick is, so when we get to this match, this coming Monday is supposed to be the tying day for New Day with Demolition.
If they make it to midnight.
Okay. So if Ross Smart, that triple threat should be the main event next week. After all, we haven't had our main event this week wasn't a title match. It was a women's segment.
Interesting.
Apparently, was a little jealous that Ric Flair decided to side with Sasha and decided to try to bring him back using some family sentimentality. Unfortunately, Charlotte's promo was a little wooden to me. So when Ric hits the ring, she starts beating him up. Sasha comes out, she beats Sasha up too. So this feud is going to continue.
Uh-oh.
Despite it being told us being told several times that it's their last one.
Seriously. Bailey's over here waving her arms going, "Hey, I want something to do. Can I have something to do? Can I beat up Charlotte for a little bit?"
And now there's even stealing Bailey's match with Sasha because...
Yeah, the fact that the Iron Woman match is being requested for Roadblock End of the Line. And that will be granted, and Bailey's just sitting there, probably just sitting there with her arms crossed going, "Wait a minute."
Jeez.
Can't say I blame her.
Go ahead.
No, please.
Let's say, will WWE once again do the Charlotte wins it on the pay-per-view, Sasha wins it on Raw, because this is going to be a little too much.
It's devaluing the title.
Yeah.
The triple threat was so great. A lot of stuff during the summer was so great, but now it's just going back and forth and back and forth. It's devaluing the title because you've only got these two that are fighting for it. They've been fighting it for it for what, like 5 months back and forth now?
Yeah. I know Nia Jax because of the international tour. Alicia Fox isn't somebody who's in contention for it. Who else is on Raw? That's how bad this is.
Dana Brooke is on Raw, but she's basically
She's persona non grata because of Charlotte. We got to get Nia Jax into this picture somehow. And speaking of bouncing belts, we've been having some fun with the Cruiserweight title. Before I get to Rich Swann's match, though, with TJ, one of the bright lights of the Cruiserweight Classic is finally on my television. And I've said this about the Vaudevillains, but I'll say this. I needed Jack Gallagher on my television yesterday.
Yes.
Jack Gallagher is doing what the Vaudevillains should be doing. And they should be taking, they better be taking notes. Unless they've become personas non gratis, like the Ascension. Just saying. Getting to see Gallagher work this week, I mean, VRM.
Did not see it. Sorry.
Oh my goodness. Go see his thing on Raw. Go see his thing from 205 Live. Gentleman Jack. Such a proper gentleman. It's kind of fun listening to Corey Graves gush over him. I'm going to gush over him. And Rich Swann as champion is good. Now I just got to figure out what they're trying to do with TJP. I can't tell. Because I don't know if you saw anything from the cruiserweight matches on Raw or 205 Live. TJ's kind of just floating.
Yeah, he seems just there. I can't help, I don't know how much of it is some of the backlash against the way he lost the belt, or how much of it is maybe they might say, well, we're kind of losing interest in this guy, but he feels like he's just there, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's like, are they just still arguing in creative whether they want to turn him heel or not? Is that what it, because that's what it feels like to me. I don't know. They just need to figure out what they're going to do with him and figure it out soon, because that entrance is too good to waste. And that's not just my inner geek. Oh, let's see. Should we talk SmackDown or should we talk some stuff about NXT?
Well, we kind of already talked SmackDown to death after with Ellsworth and...
Granted. And SmackDown, despite the fact that they were the ones that had the pay-per-view... And thank goodness that my pay-per-views are only $9.99 now, because I got to see some of the pay-per-view again. Granted, we only had two rematches, the tag match and Corbin Kalisto. But in the paying $50 for a pay-per-view era of VRM, would you have been offended to see rematches on SmackDown?
A little bit, because... It's been getting, it's like, when you see the rematch on the free TV, it's like, especially when it ends up better. I mean, consider this, back in, what year was it? What year was 23? That was
2007.
2007. You had John Cena versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania
in an okay match.
It was okay.
That should not have main evented that show.
No. And
remember,
then
I was sitting there. Yeah.
And then not even a month later, you get them going through a 1 hour classic. And you wonder, you're like, why am I spending my money when you're just gonna give me the match in a better match than what you gave me for free?
Seriously. Forth your thoughts on that.
It's pretty weird that they do that more often now. I actually don't like the idea of giving the rematch for free either. I get extenuating circumstances, but from time to time, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, the same match to play to continue the feud, it doesn't work. It didn't work with Corbin Ziggler. It definitely didn't work with Corbin Ziggler. Ziggler Miz is starting to grate a little.
Mm-hmm.
What else have we? Sheamus Cesaro was a best of seven series.
So
that's partially forgivable, but yet still.
That the only reason I had trouble with that is just the fact that, you know, I called it. There was no resolution, really.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know which one's the better, and they're still arguing over it. So I don't know if that's supposed to be entertaining or just frustrating.
And, of course, there's always the never-ending feud between John Cena and Randy Orton.
Which thankfully, they have not even attempted to visit. Mainly because John Cena hasn't been around. And Randy's busy being a thrall of Bray Wyatt. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I really am.
I'm waiting for him to Daniel Bryan it. I am waiting for that.
And it's not happening yet. It's not happening. Go ahead.
And they set it up that it can be done safely.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've announced that the Wyatts will be defending the titles under Freebird.
Yep.
Ooh.
I would expect no less, because despite the fact that Wyatt has drafted a very, very powerful ally in Randy Orton, he is still keeping Luke Harper as close as possible. And Luke Harper is trying just as hard to keep his master's attention, as we saw in the rematch. And trying to keep them, and trying to do it without screwing anybody up or screwing anybody over. knowing full well what Master will do to him. Now, we mentioned John Cena, and I don't have a soundboard to play the horns, but if anybody's up late Saturday night and actually happens to be home, he's hosting Saturday Night Live, which probably means it's the first host that I'll actually recognize in about 5 years. My notes specifically say he might make it funny. Now, I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in a dog's age. So I wouldn't even know what to compare it to. But I'm also somebody who used to watch it during the Dennis Miller era, and I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
So do you think Cena can pull off a Saturday Night Live as well as The Rock? I guess would be my question.
As well as The Rock. Oof.
And mind you, Rock wasn't alone, so that, you know, this might be an unfair comparison.
True.
All I know is I think he will be funny so long as none of the sketches he's in involve a certain Alec Baldwin impression. Otherwise, I get the feeling we'll hear through his microphone a loud voice going, "Damn it, get back in that limo!"
Although I am fully expecting at least one instance of the meme.
Oh yeah, they will do a suddenly John Cena thing in there at some point. In fact, I'd almost turn it on just to see the introduction, just to see if the crowd breaks into a John Cena sucks sing-along. Live from New York, ladies and gentlemen. And we know how New York crowds are. what else have we got out here? Oh, I'm jumping down to the bottom of the pile here for some of the stuff that we've got going on. NXT was very generous to us and showed us some stuff from Japan, specifically a Samoa Joe Shinsuke Nakamura match, which I did watch, and it was glorious and it was awesome. And Nakamura's got the belt back. Should Raw and or SmackDown be worried? With the potential of Joe moving north.
I mean, it's tough to say who he's going to go after. I mean, he's heel right now, so... Who does he go after? Because the belts are... Well, he could go... Ooh.
Would he go after a familiar foe in AJ Styles, or...
Oh no, I like that idea. Because if you think about it, there's only one singles belt on a face right now.
That is correct. And that is the U.S. title on Roman Reigns. And I think there are a few people out there that would pay pay-per-view money to watch Samoa Joe kick the shit out of Roman. I'm not one of them. Although I would watch it just for the sake of, you know, but you guys are both Samoan. And Roman just saying he's not family. He ain't family. And Joe saying, I don't need a family.
That actually would be a pretty awesome thing to hear.
So... WWE, please take this idea. Since you guys are busy doing a bunch of other things like, you know, signing people and letting and shuffling people around. Little things like a wild Percy Watson appeared at NXT.
This I want to see, because I want to see if they would respond to his, oh yeah, the way they did to like No Way Jose, or the way they chanted for Bailey.
Well, the trick is this time, though, he's there for commentary. Apparently, they weren't too terribly impressed with his wrestling. And I'm still wondering if the one Percy Watson fan on the fan boards... I didn't go over the NXT thread, so I don't know if Percy Mania was in there and saw what the reaction was. We have Mickie James is apparently back, and she is signed to a 3-year deal. She did her match with Asuka.
That was a fun match.
And then, so now we got to figure out what to do with her next. Does she stay down in NXT and work her way around, or does she come up? So if I remember correctly, she was primarily a Raw gal during the first run of the brand split.
Plus, assuming any rumors are true, it's probably a good idea to put her on Raw, if you remember the relationship rumors about her in the past. Even if she is married, it would just be asking for internet trouble, you know?
I'd like a clarification.
Well, the rumor used to be that at one point she had slept with John Cena and then got it in her head it was a relationship. So I don't think anything's going to happen if she's on SmackDown, but you know how the internet would talk.
Oh, the internet loves to talk. I think what they'll do is they'll go ahead and put her on Raw, because I think that was pretty much the show she was on for the majority of her career, because I know she was, you know, since she was there during the brand split. And let's see one of the new gals try to do the stalker thing to her, like she did to Trish Stratus. We've got her signed. She's got a 3-year deal. They finally twisted another cruiserweight's arm, and Drew Gulak is signed. And I didn't realize he wasn't signed. I thought they already had him down. I knew they didn't have Zack Sabre Jr. I knew there were a few others that were in the Cruiserweight Classic that they didn't have a shot at. Then again, who would have thought that a guy with no chin could get a job at WWE? At minor announce tables, like the pre-shows and pay-per-view preview shows, they've decided to take Lita and Lawler off the tables, and there's a rumor that Lita's gone.
Oh.
And I hope that's not the case. I don't know what they do with her, because, you know, she could be a trainer down at the Performance Center, but I don't know what else they would do with her. And Lawler, I wonder if he's finally in the I'm too old for this shit category.
Possibly. I don't think he liked getting thrown off a SmackDown, so I imagine he's not even going to try if he's on the panel too much.
Well, he doesn't have a whole lot to work with, and they couldn't decide if they wanted him to be face or heel. He attempted to be heel, and he just hasn't done it in so long. He's way out of practice. And getting a word in edgewise with Booker T at the table is tricky. What else have I got in here? Okay, is this good news or bad news? Jimmy Snuka, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Viren, I don't know if you'd heard about this.
Yeah,
but
and not only was he not competent to stand trial, he might not live long to the point that he could even start the trial, since he's been diagnosed with terminal stomach cancer.
So, you know, I know there are some people who still are looking for justice here, but I feel that karmic justice has been dealt. Snuka's not going to jail, obviously, but he's not going to have much of a quality of life over these last 6 months.
It's definitely a case where you obviously are thinking both about the family of Nancy Argentino, if I remember correctly,
mm-hmm.
because they won't have their day in court. And you're also thinking about, you know, Tamina and Sim Snuka. I don't know if he has any other children other than them, but you're thinking about the fact that they're going to be losing someone they're close to as well.
Right. And thankfully, one of my suspicions has been dismissed. I was worried that the whole Snuka trial thing was something that was keeping Tamina off TV. She's recovering from an injury, and we should be seeing her sooner than later. I honestly thought they had taken her off TV because of her relation, because of who her father was. I would think that Hunter's not that petty. I would think Vince would be quite very much that petty, but depending on whose call it was, ultimately. Politically.
Oh, boy.
Raw from the White House lawn is going to be coming closer and closer and closer. It's not funny. As we're closing in on the 10th anniversary of Donald Trump working a WrestleMania, we have come full circle as our president-elect, which I can't say with a straight face. Has decided that Linda McMahon would be a good fit in charge of small business. She got the seat for a cool $6 million. But VRM, she hasn't been a small businesswoman in 2010s, 35 years or more.
Who knows what's going on in Donald Trump's mind at this point regarding some of his cabinet selections. That's more of a red state, blue state thing.
That's true. I probably shouldn't bring it up, especially since Jason disappeared.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He had another podcast. Mm-hmm. But it's just curious. I'm interested to see how all this works. Trump's response would probably be, well, she made a lot of money down, didn't she? See what she can do for small businesses. Help them make some money and make them huge. Huge.
Oh, hell, he's appointing a friggin' fast food CEO as his Secretary of Labor, so...
Yeah, that's the one that's ringing some alarm bells, because this guy's anti minimum wage and pro robot.
Yeah, but like I said, this is not red state, blue state.
No, it is not. So I'm going to try to get us over on a happier note. If you are not watching WWE Storytime, you're missing out. The most recent edition of Storytime brought up something that a match with Zack Ryder and an independent talent from the Ohio Tri-State area, a guy named Rory Fox. Rory Fox was the poor soul who accidentally buried it all on live television, or live to tape television anyway, because they were recording ECW. Since Mr. Fox's tights tore right down the middle and did a lot worse than the damage done to AJ's. New meaning to free and clear, ladies and gentlemen. If you are a participant on the fan board, somebody actually found the video since WWECW has not been added to the network just yet. Zach had made a comment, you know, the editors did a hell of a job to cover this up, and they did. But you had to, you know, I felt bad for Rory, because I remember this, and I thought the camera work was really strange, and then we found out why. Like, this poor guy lost his shot at WWE because he just didn't have very good gear. Seriously. Yeah. But, Viram, have you been watching Storytime?
No, I haven't.
Please do. Please do, especially since, you know, the stories are pretty much straight from the wrestlers' mouths. And they've gotten everybody from Jake the Snake to Lita to Bubba Ray Dudley to this particular Zack Ryder story. And some Andre the Giant stories came up this week, including one that I believe should have been just listed as the Super Moon. Wrap your brain around that, VRM.
Well, speaking of story times, we actually have to close the book on a story.
What do we got?
It's time for our obligatory TNA news.
Yes. And I have some speculation, but whatever you got, go ahead.
Okay, so, as we last covered, I believe, last time we covered it, back in the whole mess of everything with Anthem and Billy, the lawsuit was still going on. Not anymore.
So, which lawsuit got settled? Because TNA's got about a dozen of them.
Billy's lawsuit.
Oh, he dropped the rest of his stuff?
Yeah, Billy has dropped his lawsuit. Everything is apparently now water under... Well, I wouldn't say water under the bridge, but... Hatchet's buried. Deals are done. Settlements are in between Billy and Anthem.
So Billy got his money and decided he'd be best off walking away. Is what it sounded like to me. Which is probably the best course of action, given all the nonsense that's going on and the fact that we're seeing TNA talents sneaking over to other promotions. I'm looking at you, Hardy Boys. As Broken Matt and Brother Nero are going to show up at Ring of Honor. Now, this is a few months down the road, but still, the fact that this was, you know, this was done through a couple of tweets and a video. Go ahead.
And then a segment at a Ring of Honor show where Matt hacked their Titantron.
Yes.
Followed up by a knockoff Kmart drone representing Vanguard 1.
The drone got a chant, by the way.
Yes.
And then the Young Bucks super kicked it out of the air, and I'm just like, the picture, whoever sent me the picture put, try explaining this to a non-wrestling fan. I'm not even gonna try. This is just the fuck. But They're supposedly showing up at Ring of Honor. Drew Galloway, I think they finally found him again and decided to put him back on TV. Eddie Edwards is in limbo. Abyss. Where'd Abyss go? Anyway. Just things are still kind of wonky with the roster. If everybody did get paid, I'd be impressed. But I think there's still people looking to move on, move up, move around. Anthem might not have a roster to work with come 2017. Let me see if I still got Mikey's rant about that.
At this point, I've got the strange feeling it'll be down to probably Trevor Lee and Bram, and let's figure out which one's which.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find this. I got in a big conversation with him. Okay. We talked about Matt and Jeff going to Ring of Honor. There's a potential rumor that EC3 is done with TNA. Potential that Galloway is going to walk since they're not using him much. Red Dragon and the Young Bucks have re-signed with Ring of Honor. Let's see. Maria's probably retiring soon. Mike Bennett may walk away as well. Cody and Brandy might not be sticking around either. Now, mind you, I don't have any sources. This is just Mikey who trolls the TNA trolls. The guy that's been kicked out of TNA Mecca so many times. I just I just don't get that. I don't understand why he does it, but it's still funny. But this is his whole, you know, this is the stuff that he talked to me about a couple of days ago. Cody was a Bound for Glory week thing. Brandy must not have actually signed. Davey Richards is retiring at some point next year. I'll believe it when he hangs up his boots. And who knows what's going to happen with Eddie Edwards. Let's see. I wonder how much James Storm is really regretting, despite the lowball offer, taking the crazy money with TNA instead of staying with NXT. Interestingly enough, Bobby Roode has not talked to James Storm.
Roode's defense, it's one of those, you know, what can he say? It's like, I'm sorry that you got the raw end of the deal, but at the same time, you had to know, first chance I got, I was going up where an evil doc was going to utilize me the best.
Exactly. I was trying to let my contract expire quietly so that when the evil doc did call, I was available. You know, we brought you to Orlando. You got to do a couple of matches. Yeah, they didn't offer you a whole lot of money, but you would have made it up in merch. You would have made it up in appearances. You would have made it up once you got called to the roster. Just saying. Let's see. There's also some talk about some of the divas. He also talked a little bit about the divas. Gail Kim is close to retirement. Gail doesn't have to work another day in her life if she does not want to. Madison Rain wants to move to a backstage knockouts commentator. So, what Anthem is going to be inheriting is going to be pretty anemic, but this might be a good thing. VRM, how hard is it to rebrand when you've got people that already have the stank of the previous promotion? We've joked about this with WWE. Hey, look, a new show, same as the old show.
Yeah, I hate to bring up this reference, but it's kind of like what they talk about in Bar Rescue.
Okay.
Where you change the bar on the inside, or you change the ownership on the inside, change the faces around, but you keep the old name on it, and people are still going to say, well, that's that, so... And that sucks, so why am I going to go there?
Exactly. And that's what I really think. If Anthem is going to rebrand, they're going to have to rebrand completely, and they're going to have to put out some money to go get a whole bunch of fresh faces, because a lot of the guys, you know, it sounds like I said, this is all unconfirmed rumors. This is Mikey we're talking about here. That a lot of the guys are going to walk, because Corbin's no longer involved. Now, to their benefit, Dixie's not really as involved as she used to be. But is Anthem going to treat them any better? Is what they've got to look out for. So it's worth keeping an eye on. I want to see what Anthem can do with these guys. I would settle for them just getting paid. Please.
Yeah, heck of a start.
I mean, you do that first. I think the rest of it will follow, and then people might actually say, "Ooh, you guys are actually getting paid? What are you getting paid? Are you getting paid on time?" These are important questions, people. So, I think that's all I've got. Did we miss anything of import? Did you have anything else, VRM?
I think we got everything.
Okay. Forrest, can you think of anything else we needed to talk about?
Not that I can think of, no.
All right, then let's go ahead and tie a little bow around this little event. Muckamuck, are you still here?
Yes, I am.
I think we're ready to call it a night. So I just wanted to make sure you were in the room for plugs and stuff.
I'm here.
All right. So before I get to you, boss, though, mm-hmm. Forrest, do you have anything to promote?
Not at the moment. Typho hasn't had a show in at least a month, so I'm thinking that one's probably ended its run.
Well, and if you still talk to him, tell him that he needs to start opening up his Thursdays and get his ass back up here.
I will.
VRM, do you have anything to promote by any chance?
I would promote BS, but Carl's here, so Carl will probably do that.
I believe that's your cue, Muckamuck.
Yeah, a very, very weird Week 13 recap was had this week. As we begin Week 14, a good divisional battle between the Raiders and the Chiefs going for first place in AFC West. We actually recorded normally this week, VRM.
Yeah, for the first time in
about a month.
4 weeks.
About a month, yeah. It's either been Saturday nights or Friday nights, but I managed to drag my butt to the table Tuesday night, and then hopefully we'll be the same next week. More to talk about, and we get into the first week semifinal matchups in BSFFL. So let's be on the lookout for that, et cetera, et cetera. They still have a baseball podcast to record the end of the season. I'm not sure when that's going to happen with DC Lundberg and Jason Block and JD Hernandez and crew.
Mm-hmm.
Jason left us to go record WLTI. They're going to be doing one of their older games and bring it to the audio form for the first time, as I understand. And they're getting ready for their annual Best and Worst of Everything show, of course. Be on the lookout for that soon, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Pixel Nation, of course, is all in the season, already happened, so that's on hiatus for the rest of the year. Pretty much that's it for everything else.
Okay.
But I will plug something else.
Okay.
One of our very own got a chance to take on the Millionaire Tree that aired Tuesday, and
yes,
got himself a nice chunk of change. Of course, that being our friend Brian Henniger.
Yes. So I'm hoping that he would be gracious enough and philanthropic enough to donate to the fine cause that is the Spectrum One Network. Oh, hi.
Hi. No, he's, I think there's something he needs more than that right now.
That's true.
But it's a nice five-figure sum. The way he played the game was pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
The way his energy was, it kind of reminded me of a young Jason. Yes, I'm going
Jason,
back.
You're going back a bit, ain't you?
Yeah, just a little bit. 2000. But yeah, he did the show in August when he was out in Vegas. He had to go back to Vegas for a week because to tape the show, it was a back-to-back vacation for him. He mm-hmm. took his sister as his plus one lifeline, and I'll just let y'all see the show if you haven't. It's on YouTube. Just search for Millionaire Brian Henniger.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's that for me.
Okay. All I've got is a paper review. Chris Waters and I continue to attempt to go back and look at old pay-per-views from WCW, NWA, WWF, and eventually ECW. We just do it whenever our schedules manage to match up, and if we can drag people in, including occasionally VRM, just to torture him with the horrible camera work and technology. No comment. I can see that. But done with 1989. We'll be starting into 1990 very soon, which means we are going to see the dawn of the Undertaker era. Granted, we've got to grind through a lot of other stuff to get to Survivor Series 90, because we're doing this in order. But you can find all these episodes at tindeck.com/users/CMWaters. I don't know if he's talked to you at all, Carl, about moving them over to Spectrum One.
Not recently.
Okay.
I got enough going on as it is.
That's why I'm not going to push real hard, and probably why he's not pushing real hard. So don't sweat it. The only thing I'm going to put out there is that we are just a few weeks away from the Nikki Awards, and this will be the first year in the 10 plus years that I've been doing the Nikkies that I am not going to have any recruiting awards. I have not done any recruiting this year.
And here's the best thing. We won't have to take a week off.
That's true.
15th, 22nd, 29th. We don't have to take no week off this time.
Granted, I will be out of town on the 22nd, but I can bring enough stuff with me to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I can still make it happen.
Okay.
But yes, I'm going to be working on the Nikki Awards for, Wrestler of the Year, Wrestler of the Year, Female Wrestler of the Year, Match of the Year, Holy Shit Moment of the Year, Oh Shit Moment of the Year, which are still two of my favorite categories. But like I said, it's just hard for me that this is the first year I don't have any recruiting at all.
You've been in transition for a few things, so that's understandable.
Granted, I feel bad, because that's always one of my highlights is getting some new faces. And to be honest, no, I take that back. I have some recruiting, but it's all at the independent level.
Mm. Yeah, next year we'll try to do some recruiting to help liven the show up a little more as well.
Well, I have somebody who is interested in coming on for an interview. I'll tell this funny story, and then we can call it a night.
Okay.
There's a wrestler in the Indiana area named Sean Tidwell who was part of a tag team called the Kosher Club when I used to go to IPW shows. I recently reconnected with him on Facebook because he claimed that he had been on a podcast with me. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think he's been on NAWC.
Ring a bell.
He might. It would. The thing is that, I watched him at IPW up till about 08 or 09, and then he started traveling. And I can't remember if we've ever had him on the show.
Not to my knowledge, I don't think.
I have a feeling I had him on a show before NAWC. I did a short podcast series with somebody else that I have no access to the original audio from. And I don't think he was on Webmaster's Corner. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to reach out to him and see if we can get him on the show in the next couple of weeks.
Cool. All right.
So, Sean, if you're listening to the show, just, clear out a Thursday for me, all right? So, for our illustriously absent Jason Block for VRM for a fourth. Thank you for coming back. Please show up more often.
I will. Thank you.
And for our chief high muckety muck, Carl Chenier, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Please do check back with us next week. Jim, get back on my show. In fact, I got a lot of people I need to say that. Get back on my show. Stay pony, everybody.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.